Homeland Security Director Kirstjen Nielsen said this week that the risk from cyber threats to the United States is now greater than the risk of physical attack. She made the comments this Wednesday at George Washington University.
DHS was founded 15 years ago to prevent another 9/11, but I believe an attack of that magnitude is much more likely to reach us online than on an airplane. As we speak, the bad guys are in our networks checking for open windows or doors, and everyone and everything is a target.
Her statements came after recent reports of hacking attempts into American electrical infrastructure and with lingering concerns over the security of voting systems after Russian hacking attempts in the 2016 presidential election. Scott Borg is the director and chief economist at the U.S. Cyber Consequences Unit, a nonprofit organization that researches cybersecurity issues. Scott, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for the attention you're giving to this critically important subject.
Well, we heard Homeland Security Director Kirstjen Nielsen there. Is she overstating the case, or is this something on the scale of a 9/11-style cyber attack that we should be worried about?
She's not overstating the case. In fact, Kirstjen Nielsen has been very interested in this subject for a long time, and she actually knows what she's talking about here. A cyber attack that was sufficiently sophisticated and seriously destructive would be exceeded in damage only by a nuclear attack.
Spell that out for us, because I think a lot of people might think of a cyber attack as kind of an abstract thing, not something that's going to directly affect our daily lives. How could it manifest itself in such a serious way?
So pretty much everything these days is run by computers. If you think of any industry that we depend on all the time, like electricity or oil and gas or banking or even railroad, it's all run by computers. A cyber attack, a really sophisticated cyber attack, would be like putting an enemy agent in charge of the computers that run all those things. Imagine the damage you could do if you could control all the railroad switches and signals. If you could direct the trains at any speed you wanted to crash into each other, if you could arrange the crashes to take place on tunnels and on bridges and into other critical facilities. Imagine the damage you could do if you could control all the pressures and temperatures at an oil refinery. Pretty much all of these critical infrastructures could be physically destroyed by cyber attacks.
Now, we've heard lately a lot about the Internet of Things, where a lot of our, say, appliances are cyber connected, and criticism saying that, okay, they've had almost no security elements put into them at all. Is the same thing true of those key infrastructure points you've been talking about, where we connected them, we computerized them, and we didn't pay enough attention to security on the way to doing that?
So actually, the cybersecurity of our critical industries is pretty good. Otherwise, horrible things like the kind I just described would have already taken place. The problem is, we are staying ahead of the attackers, but the margin here isn't all that great. If the attackers suddenly have a surge in creativity and increase their capabilities, or if the capabilities that are currently held by Russia and China and major nation states spread to terrorist organizations, suddenly that safety margin disappears altogether and we become just enormously vulnerable.
Talking to Scott Borg from the U.S. Cyber Consequences Unit about cybersecurity, the risk of attacks here in the United States. And let's get to this idea. We've heard it from Homeland Security now, and General David Petraeus just co-wrote an op-ed saying we need a full-scale cyber force, if you will, a cybersecurity unit independent that's really tackling these issues head-on. What do you think of that?
So we have a military cyber force already. The proposal is to have a separate agency focused on cybersecurity. In principle, that's a very good idea. In fact, in principle, I think that should be a cabinet-level job, and that should be an entirely separate major department of government. In practice, I'm not sure if this is such a good idea because there's so little understanding on the part of politicians and senior people in Washington. So little understanding of cyber attacks.
Can you spell out for us what we have now when it comes to federal cybersecurity efforts?
What we have now are cyber forces and cyber security activities spread across a whole bunch of different government departments. There's major cyber activity in the Pentagon, in the intelligence agencies, in the Department of Homeland Security. Now, that's not itself a bad thing because there are many different government missions where cybersecurity is concerned. The government needs to be able to defend our critical infrastructure industries from cyber attacks, or at least help with that. The government needs to be able to prosecute cybercrime, assemble evidence, and make legal cases against cyber criminals. The government needs to be able to develop cyber offensive capabilities. The government needs, and so on. So there's a whole series of things. If one government agency has the responsibility for many of those things, they're going to be in conflict with each other. All of those things I just mentioned are actually conflicting missions. So one of the problems with implementing a single agency, with having a single agency be in charge, is that agency is going to have a very good way of setting priorities, or it will be sacrificing a lot of critical government missions in order to carry out others.
Now, part of the reason we have a Department of Homeland Security was that after 9/11, there was the idea that we had all these different intelligence and law enforcement agencies that didn't necessarily communicate well with each other. That's one of the things that made us, people said, more vulnerable to attack. Are we in 2018 in that position with cybersecurity now? Whether it may be perfectly valid to have these separate agencies, maybe they're not playing that well together.
It's sort of a mixed report card for that. There are a lot of areas where those different parts of government are actually sharing information quite well right now. The intelligence, different intelligence agencies and the military are actually doing a pretty good job of sharing information. But in general, it's chaos. When you get down to a lower level, when you get down to all these activities involving cybersecurity scattered all over the place, there's no real order to any of it. Now, again, that's not entirely a bad thing because there are so many different missions that need to be carried out.
One consistent theme I keep reading about from people who seem to be focused on this issue is we have a talent problem, a recruitment problem. It's hard to bring people into government with these in-demand cybersecurity skills. Is that something you're seeing?
Yes, yes. Periodically, I attend meetings about what are we going to do about this? How are we going to improve our cybersecurity training? And also, how are we going to educate the general public better about cybersecurity? One of the big stumbling blocks here is that most politicians don't really know much about cybersecurity or information technology. An ordinary citizen comes home from work and they check their email if they haven't already checked it on their smartphone on the way home. They stream videos. They web surf for different things. They manage their photographs. They know what a JPEG is. They manage their music. They know what an MP3 is. Politicians generally don't know what a JPEG or an MP3 is. Politicians generally don't even do their own email. They don't understand the subject as much as the general public. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so delighted to be talking on this program, is we really need people who are using this technology all the time to drive things forward, because the politicians are mostly not up to it.
What do you want to see when it comes to educating, I guess, politicians in some of the basic elements of cybersecurity issues?
There are two really huge misunderstandings involving cyber attacks that I run into all the time. One of them is that people don't appreciate, and especially politicians, don't appreciate the full range of cyber attacks. They think that a cyber attack is whatever has just recently made the news. So some years ago, people thought a cyber attack was a mass disruption virus shutting down lots of servers. Now they seem to think a cyber attack is stealing personal account information. They use the word breach and cyber attack, is those words as though they're synonymous. They're forgetting that any time you're manipulating information systems, any time you're interfering with the proper functioning of those systems, that's a cyber attack. So that means if you're falsifying IP addresses, if you're making it look like communications are coming from different sources than they are, that's a cyber attack. If you're putting up false identities all over the place and often running them, by bots, by automated networks of computers you've taken over. That's a cyber attack. The Russians and the Chinese understand this. They're mounting coordinated cyber campaigns that are manipulating our media, manipulating global information flows, and coordinating that with criminal cyber attacks all at once. America's mostly functioning like a blind man here, or like someone with tunnel vision. We're not really seeing what's going on because we're thinking of cyber attacks so narrowly.
We're talking to Scott Borg of the U.S. Cyber Consequences Unit about the cyber threats facing the U.S. There are lots of them, and how well we're doing to safeguard against them. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and thoughts. Are you worried about this array of cyber attacks from hackers or foreign adversaries? Are they on your radar? Do you think the federal government should make it more of a priority? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Scott Borg of the group U.S. Cyber Consequences Unit, talking about cybersecurity and the threats we face. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think we as a country, our government, are taking these issues seriously enough? Do you work in cybersecurity? What are you seeing? Call 800-642-1234. Scott, before we go to our callers, I was maybe going to ask you about, you know, the magic solution, the flow chart change that we need, the one investment we need. It sounds like you're saying we need a culture change in our government and society at large.
Yes, we do. Cyber attacks, cybersecurity is an issue now that will be all over the place for the foreseeable future.
Let's go to our callers. Joel is on the line in Milwaukee. Joel, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I just wanted to share that I'm a computer science major at UW-Milwaukee, and I've spoken with about maybe 9 or 10 other computer science majors, and I think I'm the only one of us heading into anything to do with cybersecurity, which is kind of haunting, I guess. It doesn't seem like I was just kind of agreeing with your idea that there is a staffing problem.
Joel, thanks a lot for giving us that firsthand experience there. Do you see this, Scott, across the country? People are going into, sure, a computer science field, cybersecurity not necessarily on the radar, government work less so?
That's true. And people who get degrees in computer science often have never had a course in cybersecurity. They don't know about secure coding. They don't know how to produce software that has basic security features. So this is a real crisis. One of the things that would help is if we could just get the word out how much you're paid if you have a solid degree in computer science and a specialty in cybersecurity and just a little bit of experience, maybe just summer intern experience. Your starting salary is extraordinarily high.
Joel, thanks for the call. Good luck to you. We'll go to Randy now in Friendship. Randy, hi.
Hi, I was just, maybe my question was answered. I was wondering where they recruit people to prevent these cyber attacks. Do they do it through military personnel or like schools like MIT, or I had heard about computer science, and I was just interested in, you know, how they recruit or how people would even get into the field to work in that field.
Randy, thanks.
They do it any which way they can. Increasingly, the pathway into the field is to get a degree in computer science and do some kind of specialization in cybersecurity. But historically, people have come into the field from all kinds of different directions. Some of the leading cybersecurity experts in America, some of the best-known names in the field, are able to be leading experts and work for and with the government simply because they were under 18 when they were caught hacking into things.
Thanks a lot for that call. But does it come to a point now, I have that cybersecurity degree, I'm maybe going to make a lot more working for Silicon Valley than I am for Washington, D.C.?
The need for cybersecurity is not primarily in Washington, D.C. The real need for cybersecurity is in the electrical industry, in the banking and financial services industry, out there, in the companies running the pipelines and refineries. It's out there in the critical infrastructure industries. That's the front line. That's where the where cybersecurity is most urgently needed, not in Washington.
I wanted to ask before we wrap up what you mentioned. There's a huge range of cybersecurity concerns out there. 2018, last half of the year, what are you worried about most right now?
I'm most worried about the way the Russians and the Chinese are coordinating cyber attacks at a level that America is mostly oblivious to. Let me give an example. Russian organized cybercrime is able to survive without being prosecuted or extradited because they keep the Russian government happy. One of the ways they do this is by coordinating their criminal cyber attacks with Russian foreign policy. So even if an attack is an attempt to just steal money, a criminal theft using computers, if it's coming out of Russia or China or actually a number of other countries, it's part of a national agenda. America isn't even recognizing that this is going on. Nobody's talking about it.
We'll leave it there for now. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us and taking the time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Really appreciate the attention to this subject. We need it so much right now.
We've been talking to Scott Borg, Director and Chief Economist with the U.S. Cyber Consequences Unit, a nonprofit cybersecurity research group. He joined us to look at cyber threats facing the United States, what the nation is doing, and industries, too, to protect against them.